Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I noticed that you've survived the Memorial Day weekend. As I made my comments yesterday and kind of lamented the fact that Memorial Day is being watered down. There seems to be way too many people, you know, because I see these memes that are saying it's all about supporting those who gave some and those who gave all. And it's not. It's about those who gave all. Memorial Day is for those who have passed. This is not Veterans Day. This is not to recognize those of us who have served. I mean, as a veteran, I'm offended because I went in with the full acknowledgement that, you know, I was putting my butt on the line if there was ever a need. I get that. But that need, even though it may have came, did, you know, the stars and the planets didn't align to put myself in a position where I was in that kind of threat and danger over the 20 years of service in the Marine Corps. That being said, I do not want to water down that ultimate sacrifice that those who have given in the name of liberty. I know there's lots of anarchists, libertarians, and so forth out there that talk about America being an empire builder and or we're, you know, manipulating and so forth. And even though there is some of that, you cannot tell me that the people of Iraq are better off, even though it may have ended up going in a bad direction. After, we don't have control, and we shouldn't, and we need to make sure that what we do is for the cause of liberty, the principles, just like the Liberty Bell with the Leviticus scripture on the Liberty Bell, that we are to proclaim liberty to all the world, to all the land. And I believe that when we go into a country, what should have happened when we went into Iraq? We should have offered them the opportunity to become a state in the United States. We need to abolish the UN, and we'll get into this a little bit today, but we need to abolish the UN. The UN is an evil organization that is looking and working with globalists to become the global governance. The concept of global governance literally came forth after the Agenda 21 was signed and accepted by President George Herschel Walker Bush in 1991 or 2, when he came back and threw us under the bus by subjugating us to that, to an unconstitutional treaty, but he still put into place policies and created positions and so forth to align us with unconstitutional government. The man should have been hung for treason. I did a very detailed look at George Herschel Walker Bush's life, and I would just ask that you go back to that. There's plenty of data and information regarding this that man who had served. And I am telling you that he did not serve us with dignity. He did not serve us with our core principles. Neither did President Clinton. Neither did his son, George W. Bush. And, of course, neither did Obama. We've had lots of presidents who have been working ardently in tearing apart our constitutional republic. And what's amazing is we're still in this position today that we can still save this thing. That's what's amazing. With so many things and so many people and all of these efforts and money to work against us, we have the opportunity to shed all of this unconstitutional government just like that. That was a good finger snap. I'm not known for good finger snaps. Anyway, that being said, what I'm hoping to do, and I've also noticed that there were, and I mentioned this yesterday, there's way too many people that talk about remembering those who have passed. Memorial Day is a very specific, and to me, it's kind of like a sacred holiday. It is one of the few holidays that actually has a real sacred tone. And why? Because we understand as and I'm going to say this, and I'm working on the article so that you can actually read an academic argument that proves that this was a Christian nation, and it should be still a Christian nation, because the principles that were embedded during the establishment of this Constitutional Republic, it allowed and took a stand for Christianity. Most people don't know that the Jews were not able to openly practice in most of the states. There was very few states that they allowed them to, you know, have a synagogue and openly practice. And Hinduism, Islam, and all of these other religions were actually banned. Here in the founding of a nation that believed in religious freedom, they banned certain religions because they knew that those religions did not align with individual liberty and individual sovereignty. Now, Hinduism, I know that there's some extremes on Buddhism and so forth, but I do believe that there are some merits in Hinduism, because Hinduism actually does have an affinity for the individual liberty and so forth. I mean, even though it has been a theocracy in other places, just like Zoroastrianism and Islam and so forth, I can tell you that any religion, any theology that does not believe that a person should individually choose for themselves and be sovereigns over what they do, then that religion does not align with, and it is not in compliance with, our founding principles that we are to be controllers of our own destiny. Our government is to be a local, distributive form of government where most all decisions are done at the local level. But I digress. I know that there's there's a lot of things I need to get into, and when I get started on this, I literally go down these paths and get into a rat hole, and it's not my intent, but I just can't stop sometimes. But what we need to do is we need to kind of understand and recognize that we do have sacred holidays. The two sacred holidays that I will throw out to you are Thanksgiving and Memorial Day. Now, Christmas was a holiday that was more, and if you listen to my actual Christmas show, I get into the details of how it was used to manipulate and change the behavior of our society. It was it wasn't on good intentions. As a matter of fact, this nation did not recognize Christmas. Congress, the first year, worked on Christmas Day. Anyway, what I do want to get into today, I just wanted to kind of, you know, sum up my feelings on Memorial Day, that we really need to start getting back to and start looking, even though, and as I complained yesterday, even though there's not a lot of people that can tell those stories, we need to start looking up those stories, those obscure stories of people who gave all, people who, and you know, there's that Reagan video that went out and talked about this young man who joined World War I and how he, you know, wrote this scripture, or this like credo on the first page of his diary as he went into the war, and he ended up dying. But Reagan, you know, was amplifying the sentiments of that young man as the heart of American sentiments. Anyway, we need to do better. We do need to do better, because there's nothing more sacred than the shedding of blood, especially for something as precious as liberty, individual liberty, and individual sovereignty. And you hear me go through my scale of liberty and those types of things. I am here to tell you that there is nothing that is more important. I believe that is the rallying point for preserving our Constitution, because we are facing all sorts of facades, fronts, and attacks from different types of ideologies, whether that be a theological ideology, communist ideology, what have you, or governmental, I should say. Anyway, what I want to get into today is I want to get into our education system and the sewage that flows through it and from it. And I'm probably going to be, this is probably going to be the next couple of days I'm going to be ranting on this. And I've talked a lot about this, and I'm going to get into some of the stories that I've talked about. I had Alex Newman about a month ago on my show, and we talked about what he was doing in the education system and so forth. I think this is very important because those who control the education system are controlling our future. And that is why we need to take back every facet of our Constitution and get full compliance. And I'll get into that later. But before I do, let me get into the obligatories. You know this show is sponsored by MobiStripPress.com, but it is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And you know that there's many times, if you want to make a comment regarding the show, I put out the call-in number, and some of these times, and many times, like today, I'm actually doing a pre-recording of this, of today's show, because I've got a lot of family issues that I have to attend to and or take care of. And so what I would ask is, instead of calling in, send me an email on your thoughts, info@ReclaimingTheRepublic. I will, you know, if you want me to mention your name, by all means, I will say what, you know, give you the credo or the credit. There we go. The credit that is deserved to the comment. And what I also ask is that, you know, if you want to get involved, and I do this later, but I'm going to do it now. If you want to get involved, then send us an email, info@ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I'm at a hard break, so let me get into the rest of these obligatories, and then we'll get into some real meat for you. And I hope you brought some steak sauce, because we're serving up some filet mignons for you. So we'll be right back after this. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And so, as I was just saying, if you want to get involved, by all means, just send us an email. But if you want to contribute to your local community, especially if you want to get involved in politics, please start with us. Send us an email, info@ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I'll get into the other groveling stuff later, but The other thing I wanted to point out is there's lots of people that are streaming. The show is growing, and we have a listen number. So what that means is if you are unable to stream when this show is going out, and sometimes if you've noticed, my podcasts don't get up on a daily basis because I have a really poor IT employee that just doesn't get all of these things done, and that's because that employee is me. I've got too many other things to do. So what I would ask is dial up our listen line number. It's 605-562-4209, especially for those of you that have data requirements. You don't need to stream. You can hear this entire show by just dialing it up and listening. So if you've got a good headset on your phone or what have you, you can't pause it or anything. And by listening to it, you go, you know what, I want to get this podcast because there's some things I wanted to hear that I might have missed or what have you. You never know what gold nuggets we might be throwing out. I understand that a lot of times I do provide just news marketing, but what even in those, I would say that there's gold nuggets because I provide you with a perspective and a view, and I'm going to get into like the Supreme Court today, and I'm going to throw you a gold nugget and why, you know, we've got a real problem. We're in a very bad way with the Supreme Court, and that's just one of the many problems we have. And what I do is I try to put these things into perspective. So anyway, the listen to number is 605-562-4209. And one of the things I wanted to do today, before I got into the education system, is I kind of wanted to wrap up on the Alex Newman article. As you know, I was kind of rushed at the end and didn't get out some of the other things that I thought was really interesting. You want to read this, and I honestly think that you'll want to go through all of these emails that got dumped onto WikiLeaks and start pulling these things in or trying to find out where those are available, because that is a true treasure trove. And the more people that actually have that kind of content copied, it makes it hard to go away. You know, they say once it's on the internet, it's there forever. But there are lots of deep state players and evil players that are trying to scrub the information that incriminates them. That being said, let me go ahead and move forward. I haven't scheduled it yet, but I will be trying to schedule my interview with Dr. Vile out of Middle Tennessee University. He is a constitutional scholar, has written many books on the Constitution. He's an academic. He looks at things in an academic perspective, like I've constantly been informing you. He doesn't necessarily look for solutions. He wants to make sure that you're considering every door, every option when you're working on it. And so as an academic, I'd like to put the academic aside and actually start throwing out his feelings on what he thinks we need to do. But that's really hard to get them to do because they're there to help you try to figure out, you know, how you want to go about it. And they understand the individuality and so forth. Anyway, I also hope to have Aaron Tilbury interviewed again. He's a guy, he's a local hero. He is a person that puts himself in harm's way in saving kids from the sex trade slave and trafficking issue. And so he has lots of kids that he has in care and advocating for that he's pulled out of, you know, harm's way and is putting them back into a normal life. And the process that goes behind that is just amazing because he talks about how these kids get broken just like horses and they just have no self-respect. They have no dignity. They've been conditioned to believe that they're there to strictly serve and perform services and so forth. And it is atrocious what has been happening and how bad this is getting and how this is also coming across the southern border. Anyway, so I'm hoping to have him on to find out, you know, how things are going. I try to have him on like once a year or so that we can find out how goes the fight, because this is an evil that is growing. And it's amazing how this problem, you know, people are so insulated, they don't even recognize. In the Spokane area, there is, he says, about 1,500 to maybe 2,000, 3,000 kids that are involved in the sex trade slave. If you live in a greater populated city, you would be surprised how many kids are affected. And he talks about how they get into the schools and pull these kids out of the schools. And it's a real dark world, and it is a real awakening. And I try to get people to understand, why do I get into this one issue? And as I told him why I dive into this issue, it's about liberty. These kids have lost all individual liberty. They no longer have any choices for themselves. They feel that they're completely trapped, and they've been broken, and they've been conditioned, just like a horse, to think that it has to serve and what have you. And there's nothing greater than individual liberty, that we need to do what we can to save this, and save these kids, save this nation, and so forth. So when it comes to a cause that is related to liberty, I'm there. I truly support trying to restore liberty to the individual, to our nation, and so forth. So let me do a little groveling, and I apologize for being behind a little bit, but that's what happens when I go on a rant. If you want to support this show, if you drink coffee, then I defy you to find better coffee. This stuff is really good. I know everything when it comes down to art, music, taste, and those types of things, it's always subjective. Some people like the bitter, some people like the sweet. I would ask that you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org. I have a link right there that'll take you to eBay, to this company, this coffee company that has created the Red State Coffee grind and whole bean, so that you can buy a pound, two, five, ten. If you buy coffee from this company, they will, you know, give us a stipend for that. So in other words, they're supporting us, and we're looking for other sponsors. If you know of anybody else that is a true sponsor of Liberty, this is the heartbeat right here. This is the heartbeat of the process, and the only process that will actually restore the Liberty. I can prove that to you. Just give me time by listening to the show, especially if you are new to the show. We also have a GoFundMe. If you want to just cut to the chase and say, I want all my, you know, if I'm going to give you $20, then let me just give you $20. We have a GoFundMe out there. And that link, the link to that is also on the Reclaiming the Republic homepage. So both the link to the coffee and our crowdfunding. We are working and trying hard to find philanthropists to actually help support this show, so that we don't necessarily have to. The only thing I'm looking for money, I don't take a salary, and nobody that's working with this will take a salary other than the services, like I go and get video services or what have you, because that's a company. Then we will pay for the product, services, or what have you. But the only money that we're looking for in reimbursements are travel costs, our operational costs, the things that actually cost us money to do this, that's all we're asking for. I believe that we will lose and we will be unsuccessful if we make this about me getting money in my pocket and making money off of this. I know lots of people say, hey, you need to be making something. Madison made nothing. The framers made nothing on what they were doing. They were compensated by the states or what have you. Now, down the road, when Republic Review is fully going, and if the states say, you know, we'd kind of like to have you involved in what we need to do and kind of, you know, guide us and kick this going or kickstart this, then I'll take a compensation type of thing for my time and so forth. But it is not, when people said, you know, how much, you know, what are you looking for? I mean, what would be your max that you would take on a salary? And I said, I don't believe I should take more than a representative. Because, I mean, that's what I would be doing, is serving the people as a representative of the Constitution, a representative of liberty, a representative of the states, and representative of the people. I think it would be disingenuous if I said, oh, well, I want to be like Bill Clinton and bring in $2 million for every presentation I give. Are you kidding me? I mean, these guys are self-serving, and it is self-serving people that has been destroying this nation. And if we become a self-serving cause, then we will also fall by the wayside, and there will be nothing left of this republic. So I believe that's our sacred honor, and that's our sacred duty, that we have to do this, not for ourselves, but for our posterity, just like the Constitution said. That's why they formed this union. So again, let me get back to, if you want to get involved, there's a couple of ways. You can send me an email, or you can join the Constitution Club. My email is info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. If you want to get involved at a local level and actually work with other people in a, you know, like a social network platform, go to the Constitution Club, constitutionclub.ning.com. And I would ask that you, you know, just sign up and register yourself within your county and state with the Constitution Club. That's Keith Broder's group. They're doing great things. He's got great education. He's a full supporter of Republic Review. There's another organization, ourfirstright.org, that is trying to pass one of Madison's amendments. I think that's a worthy cause. And if you want to kind of get involved and attune your state legislators to say, hey, how come you're not doing this? We need better representation. As you understand, the state legislators would have a great opportunity to become actual congressmen if they pass this amendment. So this is a great opportunity for better representation of the people. It may cost us more money, but it actually may drive down salaries and so forth on the U.S. Congress and so forth. I'm out of time. Let me be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google Donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Folks, we are almost a week away. We're just a little more, I was going to say less, we're just a little more than a week away from Red Pill Expo with G. Edward Griffin and what he is presenting in Hartford, Connecticut. If you do not have plans, if you have not locked in your streaming or travel and everything else, you're getting kind of late. So if you can't make the travel, make sure you sign up for the streaming so that you can at least be overwhelmed with all of the content. You know, there's a reason why the mainstream media, as well as Fox News, as well as most all the anything you find on television, there is a reason why nobody utters the words Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, and so forth. They do not want to lend credibility to that. It's the same thing with chemtrails. As a matter of fact, CBS has not come really, I think locally CBS has made some comments on it. Fox has not. However, CBS does have a web page out there where they talk about how, you know, people have kind of opened up and said, yeah, we're actually spraying in the atmosphere, and the reason we're doing it is to try to combat climate change. And I'm going, you know, what a facade. I mean, it's good that we finally now have proof and evidence that they are messing with our weather systems. They are actually affecting. So, you know, it's like every time we do something, you know, to eradicate, like in Guam, they had a rat problem. So they brought in snakes and now they have a snake problem. Every time we try to mess with Mother Nature, it ends up, you know, flying back into our face sevenfold. And, you know, in the Pacific Northwest, you know, in the Rockies area and so forth, where the pine tree beetles have become a real threat, what did they do? They introduced millions of wasps, and now there's a huge wasp problem. And the wasps, instead of going after the pine beetle, because that was a natural predator for the pine beetle, well, it's also a natural predator for the honeybee. It's also a natural predator for... And so instead of it actually going after the pine beetles, because there's a lot of other competition for the wasps to go eat and, you know, to kill. So anyway, it never bodes well. I give you another case in point. Over on the Seattle side, I remember that they wanted to get away from, and they didn't want to use salt, because the salt was getting into the water system and it wasn't boding well, and it was affecting the fish and game. And so, so at least they thought. So they said, well, we're going to use sand. And so what happened was the sand that they put on the roads, it also washed into the rivers and it created a mud and muck and killed more fish than salt was. Because, you know, the sand and mud gets into the glands and clogs the glands and kills them. They can't breathe anymore. Where they were at least able to adapt to, you know, a little bit of salt in the water, vice, you know, sand. Anyway, we tend to make decisions when it comes to Mother Nature, and it becomes catastrophic. And there's no doubt in my mind, them putting metal in the air is going into our water system. Metal in the air is going into us, going into our livestock, so forth. It is not a good thing. And so, you know, let me just move on, because I just went down another tangent. As I always do, there is no sign of news that the federal government is disbanding any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. And what that means is we have to do it. That means you and I have to stand up and we have to start uniting and putting our concentrated efforts together in fighting the beast. We can't go down these paths of changing or chasing these passions of abortion. It's not about abortion, immigration. It's not about it. Common Core, health, you know, vaccinations. Those are just outliers. Those are just small little symptoms of the problem. The problem is all of this thing, all these things that they are doing. All of them, whether it be agricultural benefits for our farmers, whether it be disaster relief or what have you, it is all unconstitutional. We have an enumerated constitution, and the federal government is limited to that. If you want them to give aid to hurricane and tornado and all this other disaster relief, then you got to amend the constitution so they can do it. If not, they can't do it. It's that simple. And we'll get into a little bit more of this as we go on today. But as I always say, let me ask you, if you've got something going and cooking for Constitution Day, let us know, because we'd like to actually let people know in your area that you're doing this big event for Minneapolis or what have you. So let us know, and we'll let people know what's going on for Constitution Day. We are full supporters of creating a better awareness for the Constitution. That's why I truly try to get people to get their states to celebrate the day they became a stakeholder in the Constitution. Washington State is the 11th. The 11th of November, which also happens to be Veterans Day. What's more important? As a veteran, I think that celebrating Washington State becoming a stakeholder in the Constitution trumps Veterans Day. Doesn't mean we can't have both, but Washington could easily set aside a very special day for veterans, but you can't set aside your birthday. What do? If your birthday and Veterans Day happen to coincide, do you not celebrate your birthday? Are you kidding? Anyway, Let me get into some dangers, and I talked about this before, the dangers of an unconstitutional SCOTUS over the past 200 years. If you look at the paradigm today, and I would ask that you actually pull up and look at what John Marshall said during the ratification debates. He says, if the court is presented with anything that is not within the enumerated powers of the federal government, they will look at it as an encroachment on the Constitution and on the states' rights and powers. And they will declare it unconstitutional. So I ask you, as they look at transgenderism, as the Supreme Court looks at abortion, as the Supreme Court opens up these cases on water rights and so forth, I ask you, where are the enumerated powers within the Constitution for health care, for abortion, for life, and those types of things, or even for transgenderism and gender identity? Show me in the Constitution where we've delegated their ability to regulate and create laws over these types of matters. These matters were left to the states, and they have no business doing or meddling with it, as Nicholas said. And so the point is that when something comes up to the Supreme Court, such as abortion, what they're supposed to say is that this is not an enumerated power. We have no jurisdiction over this. This must be left at the state level until the states delegate this power to us so that we can then manage, regulate, and what have you, if you want us to do that. And that right there, my friends, is the door that we don't want to open. There was a reason why we didn't want the federal government to control everything. There's a reason why they were a limited and defined government. And that's why they gave them enumerated powers. And as George, not George, as Mr. Iredell in North Carolina, if you go to my Moby Strip press page, I have extracts of the ratification debates. Just go look for Mr. Iredell in North Carolina and look at what he says. What he says, and I've read this before, he identifies the Constitution as the similitude of a power of attorney. And everybody understands a general power of attorney gives and grants general powers. In other words, you can do anything and everything you feel necessary for an individual that has granted you the power of attorney. In the Constitution, we do not have a general Constitution. We have an enumerated Constitution. And he says, and he uses this example of selling lands. He says, if I gave you authority to sell land in this county, and even though I had lands in other counties, but did not explicitly list your authority to sell lands in those other counties, could you just assume that because I granted you the authority to sell land in this county, that you could sell all my land? No, you can only sell the land that we granted to you. And it's the same thing with the Constitution. That right there, I think, is one of the best articulations of the limited concept of our Constitution. The greatest part about this is the fact that they actually articulated these definitions. And what happens when you're looking at a contract and you're accepting that contract in the contract law perspective, how it was defined is how it is rock solid. That is an amendment to the Constitution, my friends. In other words, what these men said during the ratification debates become the actual hardcore definitions. They locked down the Constitution based on those definitions and clarifications. So the Supreme Court can't wiggle out and say, well, we think we can do anything necessary and proper. No, no, that's not what was agreed upon during the ratification process of the Constitution. So, sorry, you have to amend it if you want to, because that's what was agreed upon. And that is the whole basis of contract law. And that's why I'm trying to get people to understand the simplicity of the paradigm that the framers gave us. Actually, I'll even take one step further. The divine hand of providence inspired them to give us, because somebody knew that we were going to stray, and in the last days, we would have this opportunity to use the Constitution and this concept of contract law to reel back the federal government and actually save our liberties. And again, I don't think the framers were really that attuned, at least not as well attuned as the divine hand of providence. So here's an interesting thing, and I love this fact that Macy, a representative, I think he's out of Ohio or Iowa or what have you, out of the Midwest, he blocks the $19 billion in disaster aid. Now, whether he did it, I didn't look into the details, whether he did it on constitutional grounds or not. But bottom line is, what he should have said is, friends, we do not have this enumerated power in the Constitution to spend $19 billion. Maybe he said, you're kidding me, we want to spend $19 billion, but we don't want to spend $19 billion on a wall? You're kidding me, right? I don't know. I have to look into this. But I love it when, you know, we're actually stopping and questioning things in Congress like this. We'll be right back.
Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. This show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so in the world of political correctness, equality, and everything else, I think that, you know, and the overreach of the United States government with its people and everywhere else, it seems like, and I'm being sardonic here, so this isn't true, but I'm just throwing it out there because this could actually happen. In the consideration of equality and the application of equality after the latest Everest death, I believe Congress may convince the world to actually cut down and or level all of these mountains so that there's no mountain taller than a very specific height. Does that not make sense? I mean, because we want things to be equal. It's, you know, it's not good that one country has the tallest mountain in the world and other countries have no mountains. So anyway, I can just see them going down that type of path. And I know that's a really, you know, out there type of scenario, but that's how stupid it is. There's another comment in the news, and I just want to go through these kind of real quick because they have a constitutional bearing. It seems to be this call that because the Secretary of the Treasury does not want to put Tubman on the currency means that he hates black people. And I'm going, you got to be kidding me. And as a matter of fact, what I suggest, and I suggest everybody read the argument from Madison in the early days of Congress, because Hamilton made a move as the Secretary of Treasury to try, and he put forward an idea of putting George Washington's face on the currency, as well as other people. And Madison put the argument out there, and this is where the paradigm was put hard fast, that we are not a monarchy. We are not a republic that elevates people. that these people are servants. These are not people that need to be elevated. It was repulsive to them to think that we were going to create monuments for these men. And even worse, under the practices of the thousands of years of making money, they always put the government leaders on the currency instead, and making that person, making them almost like a god. And so Madison argued, and everybody kind of looked and goes, no, we do not want to emulate England and putting the kings on our currency. We love Washington, and he's a great servant, but he's not our king. And so he was able to shut down Hamilton's argument and the use of presidents and any servant on our currency. We need to completely get away from putting people's faces on our currency, period. I have no problem with saying "In God We Trust" and our other founding principles and those types of things. I think that's more than appropriate. But we need to change the paradigm of putting people, because then all of a sudden people, just like this Tubman thing, well, we need to put this person. Now we have to have equality and make sure that we have this many types of people representative with our actual numbers. Yeah, it's all crap. No, let's just get away from it altogether and actually start having, you know, I kind of like the quarters with the state theme instead of having Washington's face on the, you know, on our currency or what have you. Anyway, Oso the Communist, and that's AOC, if you didn't know, if you haven't been listening, because I know we're growing here. Oso the Communist, who admires, she has self-admitted that she admires Marx. I saw she has this picture that has circulated the internet with her holding up a big portrait of Marx and going gaga eyes and, oh, you know, he's such a great man. And then she gets embarrassed by a minor league video that actually aired, that Ronald Reagan talking about Americans, and that precise video that I was talking about is what he was talking about. And they put AOC, or Oso the Communist, in between Fidel Castro and I forget who the other one was, Stalin or some other communist leader. And so all of a sudden she was embarrassed by the fact that they put her there. Are you kidding me? Why don't you person up and, you know, become an adult and say, yeah, I'm a communist and I believe that, you know, everything that I support is communism. I don't support individual liberty. And that's where I should be. I should be with those men. I shouldn't be with the types of people that are supporting individual liberty. You don't know good enough for yourself. Government knows better than you do, and we are going to take care of you because that's how it's supposed to be. Well, no. Actually, in our Constitutional Republic, we have protections from people like you, and actually what you are asserting is treasonous, if not at least moral perjury, because by the fact that you had to take an oath of office, raise your arm to the square and say you're going to support and defend the Constitution of the United States, and then try to implement policies and have a paradigm of trying to govern us with things outside of the Constitution, especially without even going through the constitutional process of amending the Constitution to allow you to do those things. Good luck with that, by the way. But bottom line, she is committing moral perjury. She should be banned from public service. Go read Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. We need to start implementing these tools that we have within the Constitution. She should be banned from public service and never be able to, banned for life. She should be removed and banned. And I would love to see Trump actually start using the DOJ to do that. Use the DOJ to start unseating all of these politicians that are literally violating their oath of office. Boy, wouldn't that be a beautiful thing? And anyway, so it seems like she's kind of having an identity crisis. Maybe she's a trans communist congressperson. I don't know. Anyway, let me kind of cover up because I go over the last few things that I didn't get a chance to cover with Alex Newman's article. We'll get into the education tomorrow. One of the things that he covered in the Assange exposing of the deep state was the Obama administration, the fact that they were spying on the German chancellor, French, you know, in other words, supposedly allies, Netanyahu and so forth. he actually uncovered as well the fact that we got actively involved and colluded in trying to undermine the election of Israel and trying to keep Netanyahu from winning. Right there are legitimate charges, just like the Benghazi I went through yesterday. There are legitimate charges that Obama should be charged. He should do a perp walk. He should go to jail. And all of these people should lose every bit of retirement and serve time for the crimes they committed. Another quote that came out of this article was, intelligence companies such as Vast Tech secretly selling equipment to permanently record the phone calls of entire nations. Entire nations, just like what they were doing with us. It wasn't just happening here. And if you need to listen, if you didn't know my position on Snowden, he was not a hero. The real problem with Assange, and I'll get into my conclusion in just a second. Another thing that was exposed, that Assange exposed, was Pakistani intelligence officials were working with jihadists to plan attacks on U.S. troops. While the U.S. government, one, knew that they were doing this, and they were still sending billions of dollars in aid to the regime. Obama was not a friend of American principles. That's one of the reasons why it's come out in the news that he actually had a list of making sure that good patriots were not getting offices, that they were putting in Islamists, or what they call Muslims, but I just call them Islamists. So my conclusion on this whole thing is I know that Assange actually did violate our laws, and I believe this is what should happen. I believe that Trump should demand, he should throw his Trump card out there, that the U.S. extradition requirements trump, you know, the civil crime or the, you know, the criminal crime, because this is an espionage issue, a crime against the state. And so Assange should be extradited from the UK to the United States because this is a crime against the state, not just a supposed crime against an individual. And what he should do is then bring him in and, you know, punish him by having Assange do public service instead of sending him to jail and setting up an organization that watches the watchers and reporters and so forth. I have clearly stated that we need to implement regulations and standards at the state level. Now, so most people think that the press has to be free. The freedom of the press is a guarantee by the Bill of Rights, and it is a guarantee that the federal government will not create laws and or issues or standards or what have you regarding the press. That requirement is not levied on the states unless the states actually implemented the freedom of the press shall be honored. And if they do, they need to get rid of it because the federal government can't compel the states to do this. States have standards for building homes. States have standards for, you know, your dogs, for florists, for all different types of professional things. There needs to be standards for journalism. And journalism has to be free instead of it becoming just a part of the propaganda machine. If you've listened to me talk about this before, I believe that we need to have a very active system in reviewing journalism to calling out journalism for being a propaganda mill and not being true objective journalists in trying to present the information without any biases, without, you know, trying to influence the people and or, you know, using propaganda and so forth. I will get into the school issues as soon as we get back tomorrow. I am G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic and we need your help. God bless and we'll be back.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.